bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for this day, for each one here. Help our hearts and minds to be open and receptive to your holy word. Have your Holy Spirit work a mighty way in us, O God, so we see your will and not our own, that we do your own will and not our own. Lord, that you have first place in all that we say or do. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture text for today is found in Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 15. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Luke 14, beginning at verse 12. Then he also said to him who invited him, "When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you are repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just." Now, when one of these who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you received an invitation this past week? Nobody? One. Hey, that's pretty good. One person received an invitation. Was it for coffee? Lunch? A baby shower. Okay. How many received an invitation for lunch? Nobody? Coffee? Invitation to visit somebody? Wow, we got work to do. Lots of work. You know, God has given us all an invitation. An invitation to come to him and to accept what he did on the cross of Calvary. That he sent his son, Jesus, into the world to die for you and for me. Our righteousness is not good enough. But if we look back in Jeremiah, we find God talking about the millennial kingdom. And what does he say there? He says, "I will take and live and reign from Jerusalem." And he says, "I will take and help you to live for me. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, they shall again say this speech in the land of Judah and its cities. When I bring them back from captivity." You see, God has spread the Jews throughout the world because of their sin. And what he's saying here in Jeremiah, he's talking through Jeremiah and he's talking to the people of Judah as well as us. He says, they will not say, "The Lord that led our fathers out of Egypt," but that he is in Jerusalem and he is ruling the world from Jerusalem. It tells us that in Isaiah, that Jesus will have his throne in Jerusalem and he will rule the world from there. We find that invitation to come to him. God says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Jesus tells us that. And so we see in Isaiah chapter 65, if you want to turn there real quick, Isaiah chapter 65, and to me is a wonderful verses of how God looks upon the world and upon his coming kingdom. In Isaiah 65, we know that longevity will again come into being. We see Adam lived to be 962 years old, Methuselah 968. We see Noah was 500 years old when he built the ark, and yet they trusted in God above all things. We see that Moses, even when God was fed up with the Israelites in the wilderness, he told Moses he would destroy them and make a great nation from Moses. And was he trying Moses, or was he meaning what he said? And Moses says, "Don't do it, Lord." So we find we can come and reason with God, and that we can take and visit with him and talk with him, and he will talk with us. And we find that so very, very plainly. We find also that in Isaiah chapter 65, and I will just read a few verses. The first 17, 18, 19 talks about the new millennium kingdom, and it tells us, it says, "Behold, I create the new heavens and the new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to pass or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of the weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." And we find this is all God's blessing upon mankind when they accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And we realize that these people with Jesus in the millennium reign are those that have died and come back with him. They're immortal beings, and therefore the former things of evil have all been forgotten. Then God goes on and he says in this millennial kingdom, "No more shall the infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old." Today we look at a child dying and he's usually an infant. Can you imagine a man being 100 years old? That's older than most all of us. Very few of us ever get to be 100. And we think in the millennial age, they're talking about the age. So we see that age will again, longevity will come into being in that 1,000-year reign. Then he goes on and he speaks a little further, and he talks more about it. And he says, "But the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." You see, if you don't have Jesus Christ, what God is saying here, if you don't have Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you will not live in eternity of bliss forever. But you would be punished, and you would be punished because you refuse to accept what God has done by sending his Son, Jesus. We look into the Psalm 23, which is a great psalm, and we could give many sermons on it. "The Lord is my shepherd." How many of us has the Lord as our shepherd? How many times do we want to go our own way, and so we go astray, and God has to bring us back? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We don't need to want because God has said he would take care of us. Yes, we work. Remember, we can look at nature and we can look at the birds and the things around us. If you wake up early in the morning, you hear the birds singing, praising God for the night that he has taken care of them. During the day, they're out working and gathering food that they need. And at night, if you sit out in your backyard or something, you can hear the birds singing and thanking God for the day and the blessings he has given them. He has given them the food they need for the day, and he has given them the rest for the night, He has taken care of them, and they're praising him in their own way. True, we don't understand it. We love the singing of the birds and the different things, and we can see that working throughout all of nature. Yet, we refuse so many times to let the Lord be our shepherd, and that he will lead us in the still waters, and he will give us the green pastures, and so many times we fail to notice that. Then we go on, and we can continue on. He leads us through the valley, the shadow of death. Remember, it does not say that he leads you into the valley and to do away with you. He says, I lead you in the valley, the shadow of death may be over you, but I will take care of you because you trust me and because you have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior and you have a personal relationship with him. Then we can look at the scripture of today. And this man had invited Jesus in for a supper. And he had all the lavishings of a great supper. Yet he did not have some of the things that Jesus had. And Jesus told him how to have a great supper, one that would be a blessing to him as to those others around him. You see, God has sent us an invitation in which to follow him, an invitation in which to accept his only begotten Son, an invitation into eternal life. And in that eternal life, he wants us to know that our sins would be forgiven, that we would have the righteousness of God upon us as we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And we find that so plainly. And we find, too, that as you receive an invitation, it usually is something special. You can receive invitations for coffee or for lunch or for a lot of other things, baby showers, weddings, and so forth. And by the way, thank you for the invitation. Alice, you weren't here. They invited us to a special party next Sunday after church, and they said they would give us toothpick and water. No, they didn't say that, but for our wedding. So, but we want to thank you for that. But we have invitations, and we feel special normally when we receive an invitation. It is an invitation showing that they either respect us or they want us to be with them, and they look to us to help celebrate whatever it is the invitation is for. And so we see God giving us an invitation. And his invitation is one in Isaiah chapter 1. He says, come and let us reason together. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says, come and let us reason together. He says, come, I am inviting you to come and visit with me, to come and talk to me, and to make your soul right so you can have eternal life, so that you are not living in the bondage of sin, that you are not under the captivity of Satan, and that you're not under the captivity which would take you into perdition for eternity. And so he tells us there in Isaiah 1:18 and 19 to come to him. And he says, let us reason together. He's doing this because he wants to keep us out of hell. He wants us to have eternal life and have that life in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. And then he calls also those that are destitute. If you read chapter 57 of Isaiah, Jesus says, he who is thirsty, come, buy water, bread, milk, and do it without money. For you don't need money to buy this food from me. I will give it to you freely. And all I want you to do, as Jesus told us, the work of God is that we would believe that he sent his son into the world to save sinners, and that he, as he died on the cross, he paid that penalty for your sins and for mine. Jesus said when he was lifted, he says, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people unto myself, and I will reconcile you back to God. And if you are willing to accept this sacrifice that I do, willing to accept that free gift that I am giving you, not free to me, but free to you, that it is by God's grace and through your faith that you are saved and you have eternal life. And so we see in Isaiah 55 where God tells us that as we trust in him, we can come to him without money and without script, and that we can have eternal life through the Holy Spirit living in us, because that was given to us on Pentecost Sunday, and we read about that in Acts chapter 2. We find that God moved a mighty way, and he poured his Spirit out upon all people. And as he poured that Spirit out upon all people, that Spirit will lead us and help us and keep us in his care as we trust in him. That the devil will flee from us as we draw nearer and nearer to God. Jesus says, search the scriptures, for they tell of me. Jesus also invited us. In Matthew 11, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He leads me beside the still waters. He brings me into the green pastures. He leads me through the valley, the shadow of death. And he does this on his own because he has promised us that as we have him as our personal Lord and Savior, he will take and help us and keep us, regardless of what comes upon us. We talked a little bit last week about the man in Uganda that had accepted Jesus Christ and how they had burned his body over 40% in cooking oil because he had accepted Jesus, and his parents were Muslim and they wanted to kill him. How they are protecting the Christians, they are protecting him and helping him to get well again. That man still accepts and thanks God for the mercy and grace that God has given him for forgiving him of his sin. He is willing to give his life for Christ. He is willing to stand up for Christ. Are we that willing? And many times we would have to say no. But we want and we should expect the Holy Spirit to convict us and to take and convict us very thoroughly when we don't want to stand up for the Lord if we profess to be Christians. You see, Jesus, when he says, come unto me, and he says, I will give you rest, he says, come unto me if you're thirsty or if you're hungry, and I will give you food and drink that you know not of. And that's what it's talking about here, even in Jeremiah and Isaiah, that God will give us the food, the spiritual food that our body needs to overcome Satan and to live for him day by day. And then we see too that the Holy Spirit, now we're looking at the triune God, and we can go into Revelation chapter 22, and the Holy Spirit invites us to accept Christ and to be part of that glorious body that will live forever in heavenly bliss, and not the one that has rejected God and would be punished in the fires of hell. We find that here in Revelation chapter 22, the Spirit speaks very expressly as he speaks to each one that's willing to listen. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. That's three times in one verse, which is inviting us into accept Jesus Christ and to come to God the Father through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary for us. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah for that. That we can take this water freely and that we can know God has invited each of us in to accept his Son and to that feast and that banquet that we're going to have because we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And so we find so very plainly that God is not only working a mighty way through us, but he is working in us day by day. And in working in us, we find that we take and live for him day by day. We want to take a quick look in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. We've already quoted them. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Many people will say God has his own way and he isn't going to change. God's ways are the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is true. His laws does not change. But he's telling you, and he told Moses, and he has told many of his prophets, I will talk with you, and we will discuss the things. Come, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We remember those verses from Sunday school, probably vacation Bible school, confirmation. Then he goes on, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Think of that and keep that in your mind. If you are willing to follow God and you're willing to do his will, he will watch over you and he will take care of you and he will help you even in times of trouble and in times of what we may call torment to ourselves. He will help us. And then he says, you will eat the good of the land. Then he warns us, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, or you shall be devoured by sin, because you have refused to follow Jesus Christ. I'd like to move along here, and we want to look in a couple other verses. You know, in Philippians, it tells us that because we have Christ in our life and we're living for Christ, our bodies will be transformed and we will be like Christ. Paul says we don't understand fully how this will be, but we do know we will be like Christ when the trumpet sounds and he calls us out and we're caught up together with him in the air. And we'll be forever with him, forever and forever and forever. And let us look just a little bit at Ezekiel. We'll look at chapter 36. And I want to look at verse 27. In there it says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them, God says. That's the Holy Spirit working in us. If we are willing to walk with Jesus Christ and have him first in our life, God says, I will put my spirit in you, and you will be able to live in such a way people will see Christ in you and glorify him. Not you, but him. Because you are standing up for Jesus and what he has done for you. God has moved mightily amongst us. Let us not be ashamed. Let us stand strong in His Word. Let us do His will. And the Lord God has said, I will take care of you. And as we look at things in our own life, we look at so many negative things. This might happen and that might happen, and that's all true. Yet God says, I will take care of you if you are obedient and if you obey, if you are willing to do my will. But if you are not willing, then I can't help you. You see, God has said, come. He has given us that invitation to come. He has given us that invitation to accept His Son, Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross. Jesus has given us that invitation to come. He has given us that invitation to believe on Him and accept Him, and the work on the cross of Calvary was done for our sake. The Holy Spirit has invited us to come. And if it helps, I invite you to come. Come to Christ. Make sure He's your Lord and Savior. Study His Word. Remember, we can gain the whole world, but lose our own soul. What good is the world to us? If we don't have Jesus, it's not any good. God has blessed us and He has used us and He has given us blessings beyond measure. And in those blessings, He wants us to use them to bless Him. And in blessing Him, we will take and praise Him in word, in song, and in invitations to those around about us. How many times have you had someone come to your house? You've given them coffee, you've given them lunch, you've given them cookies, and we're all at fault many times on this, but we have never given them the Word of God to go their way. We've never talked about salvation to them. And think about it. We are God's spokesman here on earth. We have but a short time, and that time is getting shorter every day. Let us praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Let us give Him all the credit, and let's live in such a way people see Christ in us and glorify God the Father. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would be with us and help us to live for You and to do Your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 561. Yes. Lord, we bring Josephina before You. Cleanse her heart. Help her to live.